Now the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 6. Brethren, I speak a human thing because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members to serve uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members to serve justice unto sanctification. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from justice. What fruit, therefore, had you then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of them is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God, life everlasting, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and the evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be cut down, and shall be cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This afternoon, my dear friends, I would like to tell you about a man who changed the history of the entire world. A man who, unfortunately, changed history for the worse. He is known as the Father Protestantism, for he was the spark that ignited the revolt of millions upon millions of people against the Catholic Church and the one true faith. This man was Martin Luther. Martin Luther was born on November 10th, 1483, in the German province of Saxony. As a young man, he was very gifted intellectually. So much so that in less than 2 years of study, he obtained his degree in philosophy. Soon after receiving his degree, Luther began teaching philosophy at the university. But then something happened. Something happened that changed Luther's life forever. According to certain historians, one night he and his childhood friend were walking home together when a violent storm began. As they continued on their way, Luther's friend was struck by lightning and he was killed. Fearing then for his own life, Luther made a vow on that spot, a vow that if he made it through this storm without being harmed, he would enter a monastery. In 1505, then, at the age of 22, Luther entered the Augustinian monastery at Erfurt, Germany. After only 2 years, he was imprudently ordained to the holy priesthood. And soon, because he was so gifted intellectually and was as well a dynamic preacher, Luther's name became famous throughout Germany. It was on account of this fame and because he was so respected in the monastery that Luther was entrusted with by its superiors the privilege of traveling to Rome on behalf of the Augustinian order. But on his trips to Rome, Luther witnessed some of the laxity and decadence of the Roman clergy and people, and he was scandalized by this. As a result, his faith soon began to waver and his zeal cooled. Being scrupulous by nature, Luther was filled with a constant fear of hell and damnation. He grew tired of fighting temptations, and thus he arbitrarily decided that all temptations were sins, and consequently that it was impossible not to sin. He erroneously thought this because he found it too difficult to turn from temptations. As early as 1516, then, Luther concluded that faith alone justified one before God, and that good works were useless. In other words, he decided that all one had to do to be saved was to accept Christ as his personal Savior and believe in him. No matter what someone did in this world, as long as he believed, then he was saved. But Luther did not stop at merely teaching this false doctrine. In 1517, he went so far as to lash out at the authority of the Pope and against the Catholic Church herself. Soon the name of Father Martin Luther quickly began spreading throughout the Holy Roman Empire, especially through Germany, as he went about preaching against both the Pope and against the Church. He drew many followers who, like him, were ready to rebel against the Catholic Church and ultimately against Christ. In 1518, Luther was ordered to be silent. That is, he was told by his superiors to stop spreading his heretical ideas. But Luther would not obey. No one was going to tell him what to do. Several theologians were sent by Pope Leo X to plead with Luther to recant his errors and to submit to the Church. But due to Luther's pride, it was all to no avail. On June 15th, 1520, after trying all means to move Luther to repentance, Pope Leo X did what was necessary. He excommunicated Martin Luther from the Church. Martin Luther, for the rest of his life, as he continued his war against Christ and the Catholic Church, promoted his heresy and gave grave scandal. To give a stronger backing to his errors, he removed from the Bible any of the sacred books which did not correspond to his heretical doctrine. Books such as the Epistle of St. James and the second book of Maccabees in the Old Testament. But he did not stop there. To give a scriptural foundation to his doctrine of salvation by faith alone, Luther corrupted St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, the epistle that today's epistle was taken from. He did this by boldly adding the word alone to chapter 3, verse 28 of this epistle, so that it read, "For we reckon that a man is justified by faith alone." Finally, after years spent in splitting the Church and spreading Protestantism, Martin Luther died on February 18, 1546. Now, the world today, my dear faithful, considers Martin Luther to be a great reformer and a man of God. Francis I has praised him and has even caused a statue of the heretic to be erected in the Vatican itself. John Paul II, on the occasion of the 500th anniversary of Luther's birth, referred to him as a man of profound religiousness and a man who had a great impact on history. While it is true that Luther had an impact on history, it was a destructive impact. And as for being, as John Paul II said, a man of profound religiousness, the very opposite is true. For Luther rebelled against both the faith and morals of Holy Mother Church. Thus, the life of Martin Luther does not give the image of a man of God, but rather of a heretic and debauched monk, the image of a profoundly wicked man, a man who is responsible for the destruction of the faith and morals of millions upon millions of people. The success, my dear faithful, of any endeavor, of any movement, is measured by its fruits, whether they are for the good or for the bad. As our divine Savior says in today's gospel, "By their fruits you shall know them." And the fruit that came from Luther's so-called reform was obviously bad fruit. It was rotten. Martin Luther himself testifies to the truth of this. For in a sermon he preached himself in 1532, Luther said, "Since we have commenced to preach our doctrine, the world has grown daily worse, more impious, and more shameless." These are Luther's own words. And he went on to say, "Men are now beset by legions of devils, and while enjoying the full light of the gospel, are more avaricious, more impure, more repulsive than of old under the papacy." This, my dear faithful, was and is the fruit of the Protestant Revolution. And this, too, is the fruit of the modernist revolution today. For as the heresy of Protestantism brought great havoc upon the church in the 16th century, so has modernism, which Pope St. Pius X called the synthesis of all heresies, so has modernism brought even greater havoc upon the church today, as we well know. In the 16th century, Martin Luther, as a publicly condemned heretic, openly destroy the faith and morals of millions, while today the hierarchy of the new church is destroying the faith and morals of millions more covertly. They are able to do this because they claim to represent Christ. But in reality, they are false prophets, false teachers. They are the false prophets that our Lord warns us of in today's gospel. Francis I in the hierarchy of the new church are indeed the false prophets who come to us in the clothing of sheep, but who inwardly are ravening wolves. They come to us in the clothing of the Catholic Church, but beneath that disguise, they are, like Martin Luther, wolves ravening for the faith and morals of the Catholic people. Sadly, the majority of people today have turned to these false teachers of the new church and of the world. And consequently, they have not only turned away from the truth, but they have rejected it, and have turned instead towards lies and fables. Lies that claim that one religion is as good as another, and which makes vice appear as virtue. Fables that deny the existence of God and reject any code of morality. People today, then, for the most part, behave as if our divine Savior said, "Anyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." But my dear friends, this is not the case. That is not what our Lord said. For as we read in today's gospel, our Lord in no uncertain terms said, Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what he means is that heaven is not given just to anyone. Just because one believes in God, just because one is a traditional Catholic, does not mean that he has a free ticket to heaven. Though Luther claimed to base his religion not only on sacred scripture, he ignored this verse of the Bible, for these words of our Lord debunk Luther's doctrine. They expose the falsity of his doctrine of salvation by faith alone. Our divine Savior makes it very clear that we must work out our salvation, that good works are indeed necessary. We must earn heaven then, my dear friends. For our Lord says, He that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, to save our souls, we must not only believe in our divine Savior, but we must also keep the commandments. We must practice virtue. And we must avoid the occasions of mortal sin. Strive then to earn heaven each day, my dear faithful. Keep the commandments better than you have in the past. If you have neglected certain commandments or followed them in a lax manner, begin now to be more diligent in keeping them. Strive to improve your practice of virtue every day, especially the practice of charity, patience, and above all, of purity, according to your state in life. And avoid the occasions of mortal sin. Be on guard against the filth of this world, the filth which today permeates almost every facet of our society. Ask the Blessed Virgin Mary each day to help you in your pursuit of heaven. Ask her to defend you against the influence of the pagan world in which we live. For it seems, my dear friends, that in today's world, we are living in an age in which the lines for the final battle between Christ and Satan are being drawn. By the grace and mercy of God, we have the one true faith and have not been devoured by the wolves running rampant in this world. But we must not let ourselves grow complacent and become presumptuous because of this. We are not immune to the influence of the world, and the devil often obtains in one brief moment what he could not win over the course of many, many years. Be ever vigilant then, my dear faithful, as you fight day in and day out for your soul. And please God, may we never turn to false teachers and believe their lies and fables, but rather may we always turn towards the truth, ever ready to defend it. May we live not as Protestants, relying on faith alone, but as befits Catholics, striving each day to win heaven. For our Lord has promised us that, He that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so, my dear faithful, earn your place in the eternal heaven, eternal kingdom of our God, by striving each day to follow the commandments and practice the virtues that are required of your state in life. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.